Hey, a couple quick announcements. First, it's a visitation day. So if you are visiting Hope College, welcome. Welcome. We hope that if you are thinking about being part of this community, that you feel welcome in this place of worship with us this morning. Speaking of our community, today marks 1 year since this community lost two beloved members in a tragic accident. We would like to invite you to be part of a time of remembrance tonight for David and Emma in the Martha Miller Rotunda at 7:30. Please join us in that time of remembrance. And also, as we know, today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day when we all get together and we celebrate and commemorate the life and work of Martin Luther King. There's a lot of stuff going on this week on campus that you are invited to be part of. And one thing I wanted to especially mention is that on Wednesday during chapel, we have a guest speaker coming in. Carolyn McKinstry was a survivor when she was just a child of the bombing that happened in 1963 at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Birmingham. She's going to come and share with us, and I think it's going to be inspiring and uplifting, and it's going to change who we are. So I want to invite you to come back for that on Wednesday, a really awesome opportunity. So, well, hey, good morning, Hope College. It is cold outside this morning, wouldn't you say? I've lived in West Michigan for a long time, and I hate being cold. Raise your hand if you like being cold. Good, I'm glad that some of you do. Welcome to Holland. I hate it. I've always hated it. And I actually, part of the reason I hate it is because I have so much practice being cold. I live in a really old house, and it's quite drafty, and it was built before they thought about things like insulation. And so, and I've lived there for quite a while, and most of the time that I've lived there, I've been on what you would call a tight budget. My husband and I, and so we decided that since it costs so much to heat our house, and since we didn't have so much money to pay the gas company to heat our house, that we would play a little game. And every year we played this game called Who Can Be the Last One to Turn Up the Heat, Who Can Kind of Hold Out the Longest. And usually we made it till about December 1st. Which is actually kind of a long time. We're quite proud of ourselves because of this. I will say, as an aside, we don't do this anymore now that we have a baby, because apparently babies need to be warm. But just saying, don't worry. But so we'd make it till about December 1st, and you'd start seeing the Coymans coming inside and not taking off their winter coats when they get inside. And a little later, we'd kind of keep our winter hats on, because it looked cute to keep your winter hat on inside. But really, we were just trying to see who could be the one who would finally break down and turn up that thermostat. And I remember a time, actually, when I invited a colleague who was from Zambia, who was in West Michigan, to do kind of a tour of some churches. We invited him to come and stay with us for the weekend, and it was November. So we were kind of in the midst of this little game that we played. So I said, oh, well, Lawrence, welcome to my house. It's a little chilly, and so here's an extra blanket, and if you need to borrow a coat, that'll be fine. And I have this vivid memory of Lawrence watching football on Sunday at my house, and he's got his winter coat on, like full-on down coat to his knees. He's got a winter cap on, and he's got his hood up, scarf around his neck, down blanket over him. And he's still shivering watching Sunday afternoon football. And you might ask me, Kate, why didn't you just turn up the heat? To welcome and be hospitable to your Zambian friend? And that would be a really good question. And to that I would say, hindsight is 20/20. I don't know why. I just didn't. I let him sit and suffer. And I remember Lawrence looking in my dining room is where our thermostat is. You know, the thermostat is the thing that you like can set so that the heat goes on. And I remember him looking at it, and it, you know, mine, the way it works is that if you don't use it as a thermostat, it defaults to just a thermometer. It tells you what the temperature is. And he's looking at it and he goes, now is this the heat that you want it to be? Or is it the heat that it actually is? Like, he was so confused why we weren't using this thermostat for like its intended purpose, but just letting it be a thermometer. It was something like 59 degrees or something like that. Anyway, so I tell you this story on Martin Luther King Day about my thermostat, which had become a thermometer, because Martin Luther King actually made an interesting statement about a thermostat and a thermometer once that I think is applicable to what we're doing here today in our culture. Martin Luther King was put in jail many times throughout his ministry. And one of the times was because he had violated an ordinance in the city of Birmingham. They said he should not demonstrate there. And he did anyway, and they put him in jail. And someone, while he was in jail, brought him a copy of the newspaper. And in that newspaper was a letter that a group of pastors had gotten together to write to Dr. King and publish in this newspaper to say they disagreed with what he was doing. They didn't like his methods. They didn't like his vision, and they wanted him to go home and to not bother the people of Birmingham anymore. Pastors said this. So what Martin Luther King did was he got a pen, and he started to write a letter in response to those pastors in the margins of that newspaper. And got a little long, so he found some scraps of paper, and he kept writing on those scraps of paper. And then it got longer, so he found some toilet paper, and he finished that letter on rolls of toilet paper. And now we call this letter the Letter from a Birmingham Jail. And it's one of the most famous and inspiring prison letters that we know about in this country. And in that letter, he said this. He said to those pastors, you know, the church used to be like a thermostat. They were called to take a look at the culture around them and to see what was going on. And if it didn't look like the kingdom of God, they were supposed to turn up the heat and expect their culture to rise to that occasion. But actually, the church of his day, Martin Luther King said, was a little bit more like a thermometer. It was just taking a read of the temperature around it and really expecting nothing from its culture when it came to injustice. And the good news of Jesus Christ didn't expect anything to change. The church had become like a thermometer. And I think his point actually is quite similar to a point that another pastor who wrote a letter from a jail cell to people who were believers. That pastor's name was Paul, and we're studying his letter, his prison letter, called the Letter to the Colossians, this semester here at Hope. At the very end of that letter, he says these words, "Remember my chains." Remember my chains. And I think the point that he's trying to make is this. Being a follower of the way of Jesus Christ is going to cost you something. It cost me something. Remember my chains. It's a costly and it's a dangerous thing to follow the way of Jesus Christ, to be a thermostat in this culture rather than just being a thermometer. And I think on this day, on this Martin Luther King Day, I think I have often told myself a really nice story about Martin Luther King and who he was. He was a really nice guy, and he wanted everybody to get along. And he had this beautiful dream that he described in such an eloquent way. And I like that Martin Luther King. And I like to celebrate that guy because it makes me feel so inspired. And I think I do the same thing with Paul. I think I tell the story of Paul and the early church. Like they were just really fervent believers, that they loved Jesus so much and they wanted everybody to love Jesus. And that's what got them into so much trouble. And that's not exactly wrong, but I'm not sure that's the whole story. And I think the reason I tell myself that version of the story is because it just doesn't cost me very much to tell that story. I think it's a little bit like painting a picture as if way back then it was really easy to tell the good guys from the bad guys. It was really easy to say, well, they were right and they were wrong. And if I had been back in that time, well, it would have been really easy to know which side I was on. I like to think of myself being part of the early church, being one of the ones who proclaimed Jesus in an empire that said you must only proclaim Caesar. I like to think that I would have held my ground. But would I really have? I don't know. Because I'm kind of in an empire today, an empire that demands that I unthinkingly consume things all the time, that's where I find my identity. And every time I buy a pair of jeans that was made by some nameless and faceless and powerless person over in Asia, every time I swipe my credit card to do that, what empire am I declaring allegiance to? I think I have to ask myself that tough question. And I like to think that if I had been around in the 1960s, obviously I would have marched with Dr. King. I would have been among those who said, these Jim Crow laws are wrong, and I will stand up for what's right. It would have been obvious, and I would have been on the right team. But I wonder if that's really true. Because today we find ourselves in a country that has 16 million immigrants who are undocumented, and they have no rights, and they have no faces, and they're made to live in the shadows and to be silent. And our culture really has done nothing about that. I think it's easy to look back and to think, the difference between right and wrong was so obvious, and I would have been on the right side of that. But I'm not sure that's the case. It's a lot easier to be a thermostat in retrospect, right, than to be a thermostat in this confusing and difficult and costly time that we are in now. But I believe that Paul wants us to remember his chains. I believe that Martin Luther King Day needs to be a day when we remember that we are the Christians today who are called to be thermostats and not thermometers. That we too are called to look out at a culture that does not look like the kingdom of God all the time. And we're called to turn up the heat. We're called to ask our culture to be better than it is now. And it might cost us something. It cost Paul something. Remember my chains. And it cost Martin Luther King Jr. something. But I believe that is the call of the church today. I want people to look at Christians at Hope College and to know what we stand for, to know who we are. I don't want people to look at us like they might look at a thermostat and say, is this thing on? Is this thing a thermostat or is it just a thermometer? I want people to know when they look at us that we are people who stand for the good news of Jesus Christ, even if it costs us something, even if it costs us everything. Let's be people together who live as thermostats in a culture that wants us to live as just thermometers. Let's pray together. God, we ask that you would move among us so that we would become the beloved community that Martin Luther King longed for, that Paul worked for, that Jesus died for. May we be a people who are so changed by the hope of the good news, by a Savior that left the tomb empty, that conquered death, that we don't have to be afraid and let fear stop us from working for the coming of the kingdom of God. May we live to see the day, as Martin Luther King preached, when every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain shall be made low, that rough places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Amen. Go in peace.